All right, morning, everyone. Good moed. Today's daf is daf Mem Gimel in Avodah Zarah. Yesterday we got to the Mishnah. We started the Mishnah. What I'm going to do now is we're going to go back over the Mishnah again, and we're going to start from the Mishnah, and hopefully we'll cover end to end from the beginning of the sugya to the end of the sugya. The Mishnah starts off Mem Beis Amud Beis on 42b. Amotzi Kelim Va'aleim Tzuras Chamat Tzuras Levanat Tzuras Drakon Yolechem Liam Amelach. If you have find your utensils, Kelim is a general term, could be used for any form of utensil, both for cooking or for wearing, clothing even. If you find a utensil that has on it the form of a sun, or a moon, or a dragon, Yolechem Liam HaMelech, so you take it to the Yam HaMelech, to the Dead Sea, and there it's going to get eroded and destroyed. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Amir Shalom Mechubanim, Asrim Shalom Muvazim Mutarim. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, it depends. If it's on something which is honorable, so then that's going to be prohibited. If it's something which is not honorable, mevuzeh, so then it's going to be permissible. We'll talk about Rabbi Shimon Gamliel later on, the very end of the sugya. From the Mishnah, the simple pshat in the Mishnah, it certainly seems that the items that are worshipped for Avodah Zarah is a very short list. It's a list of sun, moon, and dragon. That's what it seems like from the Mishnah. And the Gemara immediately reacts to that. You mean to tell me that these are the things that they worship and they don't worship anything else? The Gemara says that can't be. That doesn't make any sense. But has very minu, and the Gemara says, I'll show you Mishnah Chulin. And the Mishnah Chulin writes, Ashochel l'shem yamim l'shem naharis l'shem midbar l'shem cham l'shem lavan l'shem kochavim mazalot l'shem michal saragad l'shem shoshal katan harei elu zivchei meitim. If I shecht an animal towards the river, towards the desert, towards the sun, moon, stars, planets, Michal Sar Hagadol, a ministering angel, or even the ministering angel of a small worm, doesn't matter. It's all Zivchei Meitzim, it's all considered Avodah Zarah. So the Mishnah Chulin certainly does not limit what is Avodah Zarah. The Mishnah Chulin says any worship to any celestial body is considered Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara says, and so our Mishnah's listing of three things seems to be not just limited, but it seems to be misleading. It seems to be a very short representation of what you can't worship. Amar Abai, so Abai gives a very simple answer. Miflach l'chol demashke plichin. Look, in terms of what they're going to serve and what they're going to worship, they'll worship pretty much anything. But meitzar umefachi hanitlas de chashibet sari lehu palch lehu. Lamidachrina lanoi ba'ama abdilahu. So the Gemara says, Abai continues to answer, but when it comes to what they're going to draw in worship, the Gemara says that's different. But they're going to go through the trouble of drawing and worshiping. So for whatever reasons, the list is a short list of sun, moon, and dragon. But in terms of what they're actually going to worship, they'll actually worship pretty much anything. Okay. Adkan, that's what we got up to yesterday. We're going to continue now in the Gemara. Mankid Rav Sheshes Chomei Masnisa. Rav Sheshes had the following habit. Good habit. He would gather difficult mishnayos, or difficult brises, I should say, v'utni, and he would teach them, and what he would try to do is say some sort of pshat, some sort of explanation of these difficult brises. Kol ha-mazalos mutar chutz mi-mazal chama levana. When it comes to mazalos, all mazalos are going to be permissible, except for the mazal of sun and moon. Okay. What does that mean? Okay, we'll get back to that in just a moment. When it comes to faces, all faces are acceptable except for the face of a man. And all images are going to be permissible except for the image of a dragon. Okay, that is a braisa. So the braisa over here really pinpoints. It's either going to be sun and moon. Right, sun and moon is prohibited. The face of a human sun and moon is prohibited, face of a human is prohibited, and the dragon, the dark cone, is going to be prohibited as well. Okay? What's the problem with the braisa? The braisa doesn't sound that bad, doesn't sound that difficult. So the Gemara is going to explain what exactly is wrong. What's going on over here? I'm Amar. Kol ha-mazalos mutar chutz mi-mazal chama levan nahach b'maiskin ani lema ba'osei ba'osei. Kol ha-mazalos mishar v'aksiv lo sason eti lo sason kid mosham shayim mosham shem lefanai b'marim. So the Gemara says, look, it can't be talking about which celestial bodies are prohibited to worship. Because the answer is all of them. Every single celestial body is prohibited to worship. That's clear. So, Ella Pshita b'motzei. So it's talking about where I found it, like we described in our Mishnah, where you find a kli, and on it someone drew a picture of a sun or a moon or a dragon. So clearly the first part of the Bryce is talking about motse. Someone who finds it. Ukedinan, just like our Mishnah. Motse kelam v'aleim tzuras chama, tzuras levana, tzuras drakon, yolachem liyam ha-melech. Good. Iba motse ha-ima mitziyasa. Now let's move on to the next part of the Braisa. Kol ha-pirtzafot mutar chutz mi-pirtzaf adam. A face. Human face is prohibited. All of the faces are acceptable. Iba motse pirtzaf adam mi-asur. Va-atanana motse kelam v'aleim tzuras chama, tzuras levana, tzuras drakon, yolachem liyam ha-melech. Tzuras drakon ein pirtzaf adam lo. A human face, if you find it on a utensil, on a kli, that's fine. The default position, the assumption is nobody worshipped it. No one would draw a human face to worship it. So that's talking about what's prohibited to make. Right? You can't make a human face. As we're going to learn later on this morning in the name of Rav Huna Brei de Rav Yeshua. Fine. Okay, but now let's go on to the next part. All images are going to be acceptable except for the image of a dragon. The Ibao said, Soros Drakon, Miyasir, the Gemara says, what are we talking about? We're talking about making Baksiv Losasoniti Elohe Chesef Velohe Zahav. Hani in Soros Drakon Lo. You could draw a picture of a dragon, that's not a problem. Elopshita b'motse. So again, we're going to the case of finding. So in other words, if we're going to now categorize the three parts of the Braisa, let me just finish up reading. Motse kelim v'aleim tzuras chama, tzuras chama, period. Okay. Reisha v'sefa b'motse, u'mutziyasa v'osei. Here's the problem with the Braisa. The first part of the Braisa, where it talks about just the sun and the moon, that's not drawing, that's not depicting, that's finding a kli. The last part of the Braisa, a dragon, that's not drawing, that's finding a kli with a dragon on it. The middle case in the Braisa, however, is talking about drawing. Right? The drawing of a human face is prohibited. So the Gemara says, here's what I don't understand. Reisha v'sefa b'motzei u'mitziyasa b'osa. So the first and the third part of the Braisa is talking about finding an object with a drawn picture on it. And the middle part of the Braisa is talking about the actual act of drawing. And the problem is inconsistency. You can't have a Braisa that blatantly inconsistent. So Amar Abaye in Reisha v'sefa b'motzei u'mitziyasa b'osa. So Abaye's answer is very simple. Yeah, in other words, correct. When we're going to learn this Braisa that was collected by Rav Sheshes, we're going to say exactly that. The first and the third part is talking about motzei. The middle part is talking about drawing. Period. Rabbi Markula ben Motse, Rabbi says, no, I'll tell you that the entire Braisa is talking about finding an item with a drawn picture on it. What we'll say is the middle case in the Braisa is going like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that if you find a kli with a drawn picture of either menika or sar apis, I'll explain what either of those in just a moment, that also is going to be assumed to have been a worshipped item. Okay, so in other words, we're going to take this Braisa, the entire Braisa from beginning to end is talking about finding lost items, just like our Mishnah taught us. If it has a sun and a moon on it, we assume it was worshipped. If it has a picture of a dragon on it, Darkon, we assumed it was worshipped. What if it has a picture of a human face? That's not mentioned in our Mishnah. Correct. But there is a Tana, Rav Yehuda, who adds that to the very short list of things where if you find it on a utensil, you assumed it was worshipped. And that is the Menikah and Sarah piece. What are these two items that he added to the list? Menikah is a nursing mother. A nursing mother, I guess the idea is that this God, whoever you're worshipping, right, nurses the world like a mother nurses her child, right, sustains the world. And the other picture is a picture of Sarah piece. Who's that? Yosef. So we'll explain both of those in just right now. Aftimus menikah v'saripis. Menikah shem chava, shem menikah kol olam kulo. The nursing mother is a depiction of Chava. Interesting. I don't know if they actually had any idea of what she looked like back then, but you're right, certainly we don't. But or maybe it just represented Chava. Maybe just that simple. But she nursed the entire world. And saripis al shem Yosef. Shisar, he was a prince. Umefis is called La'olam Kulo, and he calmed the entire world down. The world was experiencing a 7-year famine. Right? You can imagine the mass hysteria that existed in his time, and Yosef calmed everybody down. He said, it's going to be fine. And he also calmed everybody down because he collected food for 7 years before that. But he calmed everyone down. And the Gemara says, and also, this picture of Yosef is only going to be assumed to be an idolatrous picture if he's holding a measuring cup, v'chachayel, and he's in the act of measuring. In other words, the picture has to be him depicting actually measuring out. And I guess the idea is that this picture represents my God, lowercase g, my God is going to support me and measure out for me and, you know, do all these wonderful things for me. And also the nursing mother is only going to be an idolatrous picture if in the picture she's actually nursing her child. Okay? Good. So we have a brisa. The brisa we've explained now. The brisa is all talking about finding an item. And in the brisa, just like our Mishnah, sun, moon, dragon. But in the brisa also we added a picture of a human being, but it has to be a specific picture, either a nursing mother or a picture, a depiction of Yosef. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. Ezu Tzuras Durakon. Just a little bit about how to draw the picture of the dragon. Perish Rashbav Rav Shimon Ben Elazar Kol Sheyesh Lo Tzitzin Bein Parakav. It has to have some sort of fins, gills. How are we going to translate tzitzin? Yeah, scales. Rashi says scales. Scales between its joints. Right. Everyone have that picture of the dragon in their mind? Right. The little fin that the dragon has. Machvir Rabbi Asi ben Pirkei Tzavar. Rabbi Asi points to the back of his neck. Am Rabbi Chama ben Rabbi Chanina halacha Rav Shimon ben Elazar. And the halacha is in fact like Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Okay, good. Amar Abba Barchan Amar Yeshua Ben Levi Pamachas Haitza Malacha Chacha Rav Lazar Kfar Baribi B'derech. We were walking on the way. I was walking together with Rav Lazar Kfar U'matza Shem Tabas, and I found a ring on it. The Alehat Surah Drakon. Okay, and on the ring there was a picture of a dragon. Okay, so far so good. What do we learn in our Mishnah? You find any utensil, a kli with a picture of a dragon on it, you assume that it was worshipped. So here now, they're walking along, they find a ring on the floor, and the ring has a picture of a dragon. Okay, so now we know that ring is assumed to have been worshipped as an idol. So first, they sit there and they wait. Now, right, here's the object of the game, it's very simple. We want the ring. But the problem is that it's a avodah zarah. You can't get hana from it. Now, as we already learned, the Jew cannot be mevatel it. You can't disavow it. You can't disavow zarah it. So you're going to need a non-Jew. So they're going to wait for a non-Jew to come by and say to him, "Do me a favor, come here. Could you reject this avodah zarah?" As we already learned, and we're going to learn in just a moment, it could be any non-Jew. Does not have to be the owner of the item. Okay. So they're waiting. So the first one that passes by is a young child, and they let him go. Because, as we're going to see in just a moment, a young child cannot reject an avodah zarah. You need a certain amount of mental faculty. He don't have it. Matzav ekocham gadol. So now an older non-Jew passes by, v'amalo, batla. So they say to him very clearly, "I want you to repudiate this avodah zarah." V'lo batla. But he's a good Ovi Kochavim. He doesn't want to do it. I'm not going to reject the Avodah Zarah. Satro. So they slapped him. Oh. That'll help. Uvatla. And he repudiated the Avodah Zarah. Shema Minatlas. From this very simple story, we learn three halachas. Tosfos points out there's a lot more halachas that we can learn from here, but we're gonna highlight three halachas that we're learning from this story. Shema Min Ovi Kochavim Mevato Avodah Kochavim Shalov Shalchavero. Number one, a non-Jew could be mevatel avodah zarah. Could be any non-Jew. Could be the owner of the avodah zarah. Could be another non-Jew as well. Okay, we've seen that already before. We haven't given a source for that. That'll come later on in the Masechta. Shema mina yodei b'tiv shol avodas kochavim mishamshem mevatel v'sheni yodei b'tiv avodas kochavim u'mishamshem ha'ena mevatel. Also, you need a certain amount of knowledge base in order to repudiate the child. They let go by. he does not know enough about Avodah Zarah in order to repudiate it. You need to have a certain working knowledge of Avodah Zarah in order to repudiate it. Okay, that's number two. And finally, number three, Shema Minah Vikochav Mevata Bakarcha. And the third one, which is a tremendous chiddush, is that even if you force him against his will to be Mevatalit, that works, even if it's against his will. I guess we could say over here, the Gemara does not make this point. Perhaps we could say it's, you know, like the Rambam writes, certain things, you know, you can coerce a person to do even though you need him to do it willingly.
That's for a Jew.
Right. I'm just suggesting a pshat over here.
I think that's very troubling about this whole concept is that, so they got one guy to nullify, but the row of the, you know, Akum in that city are probably going to worship this thing. So how did
correct, but this, in other words, we...
mind,
right, we go...
or something.
Understood. We go item by item, meaning that his repudiation does not apply, does not work for all the Avodah Zarah. If there's any other Avodah Zarah out there, his repudiation...
But a single item could still be worshipped by a majority of
it. It could be, but his repudiation for this one item is going to be a rejection of its intrinsic Avodah Zarah nature. It works. It is a big chiddush. It's a tremendous chiddush. He doesn't even own it. Okay? I'm with you. So when Rabbi Chanina hears about the story, he's megadif. Megadif is a strong term. Literally, it means to blaspheme. That's not what it means over here. It means that when he hears it, he just recoils. He just says, it can't be. That doesn't make sense. We have a Mishnah. Matzah mina ariu, mina dov, mina namer, mina gais, u mina nahar, u mizuto shal yam, shal shluso shal nar, v'amotzi b'starti al palachia gedola, u v'chol makum shal rabbi mitzvim shem hare elu shalo, mimne shabalim in yashem mehem. Mishnah Bab Metzia. Everybody knows the Mishnah Bab Metzia. When you find a lost item and it's found in a totally public area, and you find, let's say, for example, a single dollar bill in a public area, and there's no siman on it, and there's no sign on it, pick it up, take it home. It's finders keepers, right? And that's based on the concept known as Yeyush. That we assume that if the owner dropped it, and he dropped it in a public area, he lost hope on getting it back, and that's Yeyush, and you can acquire the item after the original owner has despair and lost hope on the item. And essentially what Rabbi Chanina is asking over here, it's an interesting question, is that, well, if you had a ring, even with a picture of a dragon on it, and it was dropped, you assume that the owner was Miyayish. That assumption of Yeyush means one of two things. Number one, it means that he rejects the fact that he rejects the idea that he's ever going to get it back. And two, he also rejects its Avodah Zarah content in it. Okay. Now, the first part everybody agrees to. The second part is a bigger chiddush, a much bigger chiddush, that because I lost it, I'm therefore rejecting its Avodah Zarah. Okay. And the Gemara is essentially going to say that. That second statement is a big chiddush. Amar Abaye. Nehi demina miyayesh. Look, I dropped my dragon ring out right back in the mall. I'm not going to get it back, says the Ovid Avodah Zarah. I'm definitely not going to give it back. Somebody else is going to pick it up. But you know what? I don't reject its value as being an item of Avodah Zarah. You know what? In fact, Meimar Amar, he'll say, look, if another non-Jew picks it up, God bless him. And here again, lowercase g. Right, whatever God this ring is representing, it really great. Let him worship the ring, and Eid Yisrael Mishkachla. And if a Jew finds it, I did the Dameyakarim Mizamin Lalavikachum Parachle. And if a Jew finds it, he'll say to himself, "Look, it's valuable. It's a god. It's an item of worship." So the Jew knows what to do now. He'll go and he'll turn around and he'll sell it to another non-Jew, so that he could be over to Avodah Zarah. Now, we all know around this room that the Jew can't sell it. That would be aiding and abetting in Avodah Zarah. That's called Lifnei Iver Lo Sitei Mechshol. We know that they can't do that, but good. But the thought process of the non-Jew who dropped it is, someone's going to pick it up, someone's going to benefit from its Avodah Zarah content, and so therefore, even though he gives up hope of getting it back, he doesn't give up hope on the Isser Avodah Zarah that's contained therein in the ring. Okay. Period. End of that discussion. Good. From this point forward, from where we're starting right now for the next Mishnah, this word for word is a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. So we're going to, this is a great review. A couple of years ago in the high school we did Rosh Hashanah. So hopefully I have some familiarity with the Gemara coming up. Okay, a little bit of background information. Rabbi Gamliel had an attic. And Rabbi Gamliel, anyone who wanted to come in and testify that he saw the new moon, would come into Rabbi Gamliel's attic, and Rabbi Gamliel would show him, well, did it look like this, did it look like this? And he actually had pictures, illustrations of moon in his attic. Actually, different phases of the moon. Right? I know I have a minor obsession with the moon. Right? I could point out, and even, you know, if necessary, I could draw pictures of each moon in its phase. And good. So I have a working knowledge of the moon and its cycle. But I would say most people don't. Right? If I asked you where the moon is right now, I don't think most people would know where the moon is right now. Although, if you woke up this morning, you did see the setting moon. Right? We are now at the second half of the month. So now the moon is going to be drawing closer and closer to the sun. Good. I'm not going to bore you with the with the moon phases. But Rabbi Gamliel understood that most people don't know the phases of the moon. So what he had in his attic are actually pictures of the moon. They would come in and he would say, what did it look like? Did it look like that? Did it look like that? And if they pointed to the right picture, he would shake their hands, congratulate them, and say, you are officially a witness to the sighting of the new moon. And based on the testimony, it would be Mekash the Chodesh. Okay? And here, and that's great, right? Sounds like a wonderful idea. Very brilliant. Right, it is the smart board of 2,000 years ago. Great. Now, what the Gemara over here in Avodah Zarah, and the Gemara Rosh Hashanah has the same exact discussion, wants to know is, how can he draw a picture of the moon? Right? As we have just learned in our Mishnah, you are not allowed to make depictions of celestial bodies. The moon, the sun, dragon, right? Some even add pictures of human faces. You're not allowed to do that. So in other words, as great as an idea as it was, but drawing pictures of celestial bodies seems to be a prohibition. How did Rabbi Gamliel do that? Okay, that's essentially the question, and the Gemara is going to take about an amud of Gemara to answer this question. Okay, that's all. Let's start off tonight, how we learned in the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah. The Mus Tsuros Levanos Hayalola Rabbi Gamliel Be'aliaso Bitavla Bikosel. So on a tablet, on a table, on his wall, in his aliyah, in his attic. Attic over here, by the way, does not mean a crawl space. It's like it's a Gemara's terminology for a second floor. Shebahen Mari es Hayotos. He would show the Hayotot. Hayotot, of course, is a pejorative term. It refers to the people, the common person who's not knowledgeable and walks in and doesn't know what the moon looks like. Cannot verbally identify what he saw, so the pictures are there to help him. Good. V'omer lahem kazeri itim o kazeri itim, and he says, did you see this? Did you see this? Okay, good. Period. That's the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah. And now the Gemara in Avodah Zarah is bothered. Umishari. How could he do that? How could he have a picture of an Avodah Zarah in his house? It's not over here, by the way, it's not even an Avodah Zarah, it's a picture of the moon. But the moon is worshipable. So we're going to be quoting a number of brises, all based on the same pasuk. The pasuk in Parshas Yisro describes how we're not allowed to fashion and form any of the celestial bodies. Vayomer Hashem Moshe. This is right after the Aseret HaDibros in Parshas Yisro. God says to Moshe, "Kotamal b'nei Yisrael, atem risim ki min hashamayim dibarti imachem, I spoke to you from the heavens. Lo sa'asun iti Elohei chesev, Elohei zahav, lo sa'asun lachem. You should not make for me, you should not form for me gods of silver, gods of gold. Lo sa'asun lachem, you shouldn't form. Mizbech adamat asali, and then the psukim go on. But in the meantime, however, the Torah spells out very clearly that certain images you're not allowed to form. Now, the pasuk over there does not specify what images you're not allowed to form. It just simply says you're not allowed to make images. The Gemara over here quotes a brisa Abaye quotes a Braisa, no, Abaye is the answer, sorry. The Gemara quotes a Braisa, Mishari Vaksiv, Losa Asun Iti, Losa Asun Kidmush Shamshai, Misham Shalafanai. You're not allowed to make images of those things that serve me. That's the Braisa. Amar Abaye, Losa Torah, Losham Shimshav Shalasos Kamosam. So the Gemara says, no. Abaye's answer is, the prohibition of drawing is drawing things that you can actually make, almost like an architectural design. That's prohibited. Kiditanya, in fact, we have a braisa. Lo yaseh adam bayis tavnis echal. Achsadra tavnis ulam. Chatzer tavnis azara. Shochan tavnis shochan. Menorah tavnis menorah. When you make your house, your table, a menorah in your house, you cannot make it the same way that it was made in the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning that the Beis HaMikdash model has to be specifically for the Beis HaMikdash, and we are not allowed to copy or formulate it in our own homes. In other words, we're not allowed to make the dimensions that are used in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Ulam, for example, has a very wide entrance. Right? Over there. Okay? And for those listening on the online, you have no idea what just happened. Over there, you'll see a picture of the Beis HaMikdash, the second temple. So any of the dimensions that are used to build the Beis HaMikdash, any of the dimensions used to make the Shulchan, the Menorah, we can't do that in our own homes. But if you want to make a Menorah, Shalhei, Shalvav, Shalches, Shalzayin, I'm sorry, Shalches, you can make a candelabra of 5 sticks, 6, 8, shalzayin lo yaseh, but you can't make it of 7. And the afilu shoshar min hamatichos, and you can't make it even out of other metals. Meaning, let's say you say the following. Look, I want to make a 7 stick candelabra, but I won't make it out of gold. And look, the one in the Beis HaMikdash is made out of gold, so I'm not replicating the one in the Beis HaMikdash. That's unacceptable. Because, according to the Tanakhama, although the Torah says gold, truth be told, the menorah could be made out of other metals. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Af Shalait, Lo Yaseh Kederach Shasu Beis Chashmonai. And Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda says, you can't even make it out of wood, because it is plausible, it's acceptable, to make the menorah out of wood. And Rashi points out over here that this issue of what the menorah can be made out of is an issue of how to darshan, Klal Uprat versus Ribu Umiyut. Fine, not for now. Amru lo misham rayish, budim shal barzal hayu, v'chofim beba'atz, ha'ishir asum shal kesef, chazer v'ishir asum shal zahav. The Gemara points out, chashmonaim, don't use them as a model of what can and cannot be used for the menorah. They may have started off with wood, but only as a makeshift. But then as they got more and more, as they got better material, they made a better menorah. Fine. Okay, leave the menorah out of this. The menorah is a side point. The kelim is a side point. And right now, the first answer Abaye gives is, you can't make drawings of things that you can actually make. Right? We can't make the moon. We can't make a sun. So, ostensibly, at this stage of the Gemara, it would be acceptable to draw pictures of the moon and the sun. Okay? Gemara says, is that true? B'shamshin shi'ev shalasos kamosam b'shar v'hatanya. Here we go now, braisa number 2. Lo sasun iti, lo sasun kidmosh shamshai, hamishamshim lefanai bimarom. So here the second braisa is almost identical to the first braisa, but it adds a word at the end. Lefanai bimarom. Mean up in heaven. Meaning those who serve me up in heaven, you cannot make pictures of those things. Amar Abaye. So again, Abaye now responds to this braisa as well. We're now on the top of Men Gimel Amud Beis. Oh, you can't draw a picture of the Amchayos HaKodesh, which serves up in heaven. Okay, now we're going to start talking about things which I understand very little of, but I'll try to explain it, and it goes like this. There are 7 rakiyas, there are 7 heavens, 7 firmaments, right? If you want to try to make a mental picture, it's like one dome over another dome over another dome, and there are 7 of them. Kadosh Baruch Hu lives on the 7th floor, meaning if there was an elevator, and now I'm really I'm really stretching our imagination. But if there was an elevator, and you wanted to know where HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwelled, the Kav Yachol, again, all this is to our very limited understanding, you would press floor number 7, and that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwelled. That's where his Kisei HaKavod was. And who's up there with him? Who's serving him up there? The Chayos HaKodesh. Right? We read about them every morning when we daven. Right before Shema, one of the brachos of Shema has a depiction about how the Chayos HaKadosh would sing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what dwelled up in the 7th floor. If you pressed floor number 2, so what would be there? The sun, the moon, the stars, they would be in the 2nd rakia. And then obviously a whole bunch of things were in the other rakias. To my knowledge, I don't know, but there were other things that exist in the other rakias as well. So right now what Abaye is suggesting is that when the Braita says Lo Sasuni Ti, you can't draw pictures of those things that are Lefanai B'Marom, it means those things that are on the 7th floor. The Chayis HaKodesh. Those you can't draw. Chayis HaKodesh is a four-headed animal. Says Rashi on the top of the Amud. Pnei Shor V'Adam V'Aryeh V'Nesha. As the face of an ox, and a human, a lion, and a eagle. Okay? Or as my friend Rabbi Slifkin would say, it's a... what is he says it's a vulture. Okay, fine. Anyway, this is the picture of the Chayos HaKodesh, Tichsiv, Iti Hashruyos Etzli. And the pasuk that says, Lo Sasun Iti, means those people who live directly with me. Okay. And so that's what you're not allowed to do. Bahadi Hadadi. Alamiata. That would mean that you could draw a picture of a human face. Because a human face by itself is not the Chayos HaKodesh. Chayos HaKodesh is only this animal, this creature, I should say, that is four-headed. So the human face by itself should be okay, Alama Tanya, but we have a braisa that says, Kol ha-pirtsofot mutar chutz mi-pirtsofadam. You're not allowed to draw a picture of a human face. I'm Rav Yehuda Bered, Rav Yeshua, Mipirke de Rav Yeshua, Shmieli, Lo Sasun, Iti Lo Sasun, Osi. We could read the pasuk. The pasuk is actually read in Chumash Iti. But you could read it, Osi, you're not allowed to draw a picture of me. Now, we, of course, have no human concept of what God looks like, but we have an idea. We were made B'Tzelem Elokim. We were made in the form of man. So we have an idea. So the pasuk could be read, Lo Sasun Osi, you're not allowed to draw a picture of me, meaning, here's what you know. You don't know what I look like, and I'm not a corporal body. But the fact that the humans were made B'Tzelem Elokim, so you can't draw a picture of a human face because to your limited knowledge, to our limited knowledge, that's a model of Hashem. Okay? So that's why you can't draw a picture of a human face. So far, where we're at this Gemara, the Gemara works in stages. Okay? So far, where we're at right now in the Gemara, you can't draw pictures of Chayos HaKodesh because those live directly with God. You're not allowed to draw a picture of a human face because that the pasuk could be read Lo Sasuni O-C, even though the pasuk reads E-T. Okay? Fine. Next stage of the Gemara. Okay, here in this next braisa, this braisa is more expansive. It includes not only Chayos HaKodesh, it includes all ministering angels. And apparently the ministering angels don't all live on floor number 7. Still, they all are in the top floor. Right? But those who are lower floors, sun, moon, and the stars, that's okay. The Gemara says that's not okay. Shebamadra tachta mishar v'atanya asher b'shamayim l'rabos chama l'vana kochav mazalos mima'al l'rabos malachi asharis. So the Gemara quotes a braisa, which ostensibly is including sun, moon, and stars as well. The Gemara says not so fast. Kitanya hila ovdam. No, that braisa is talking about worshipping, not drawing, worshipping. The Gemara says, look, it's true that even the Shoshul Katan, the small worm, fine. The Asiya Grey Dust, the Mishari, are you allowed to make are you allowed to make a picture of the moon? V'atanya, and now another braisa. Now Tosis points out, by the way, structurally the Gemara is just very difficult, because you see what happened. We keep going back to the pasuk of Lo Sasu Niti, which clearly is a prohibition of not worshipping. That's a prohibition of forming. You're not allowed to form pictures of E.T., those things that dwell with me. So originally we had it just limited to the Chayos, then we included Malachi Ashares, and now we have a Braisa that is going to include everything, all celestial bodies. It is a little bit strange just the way the Gemara is organized, because once you know this last Braisa, all the answers that Abaye gave previously are just simply not going to work. So the Gemara could have just simply quoted this last Braisa and not went through the experimentation, the trial and error of let's quote this Braisa, let's give an answer. Nah, it's not going to work. But as I've mentioned many times, the Gemara sometimes is an experiment, meaning it is a testing ground. It's like a research laboratory, where the Gemara does go through trial and error, and the Gemara records for us a lot of the trial and error that it gets us to the conclusion. Okay, so, you know, it could be a little bit frustrating, but that's just simply how the Gemara works. V'atanya, we learned in the Braisa, Lo Sasun Iti, that's the Pasuk, Lo Sasun Kidmushim Shayim Shamshim Lefanai Bemaron Kigon Chamo Levana Kochav Mazalos. Good. We now finally have a Braisa that says it straight out. You can't draw pictures of sun, moon, stars. Period. Those things that serve me. Okay, so now we could take a breath, and now we could realize that we are stuck. The Mishnah Rosh Hashanah has Rabbi Gamliel taking people up to his attic and showing him pictures of the moon. And now the question, let's ask it really simply. How can he draw a picture of the moon? You're not allowed to draw a picture of the moon. The Braisa says straight out, you're not allowed to draw a picture of the moon. And again, we went through a lot of trial and error, but now we're here, and you're not allowed to draw a picture of the moon, period. And I know I'm going to get a lot of questions after the daf today. You know, my kid drew a picture of the moon. How is he allowed to do that? Okay, so again, let's just learn the daf right now, and then, right, you want to ask me the questions afterwards, that's fine. But you're not allowed to draw a picture of the moon, you're not allowed to draw a picture of the sun, you're not allowed to draw a picture of the stars. How can Rabbi Gamliel draw pictures of the moon in his attic? Okay, simple question. Gemara gives an unbelievable answer. Shani Rabbi Gamliel, the Acherim Asu Lo. He didn't do it. Other people did it for him. Other people here would mean, I guess, non-Jews. Meaning that for them, obviously for them there's a prohibition of Avodah Zarah, they're not allowed to worship. But they could draw pictures of the moon, they could draw pictures of the sun. So he had non-Jew draw it for him. Now here, listen carefully, this is great. Did he ask them to do it? So look at the second Tosfos on the page. Shani Rabbi Gamliel da'achirim asu lo. Hiksha harav Rabbeinu Elchanan. One of the Balei HaTosfos. Simple pshat in the Gemara is that he asked a non-Jew to do it. Can you ask a non-Jew to do something for you that you yourself can't do because it's prohibited? Now we call this amir la'akam, right? Asking a non-Jew to do things. Most people think that is a Shabbos issue. That I can ask a non-Jew to do something for me on Shabbos that I'm not allowed to do. Right, amir l'akum. What people don't know, my good friend Rabbi Grossman, Seth Grossman, spoke about this in one of the Chaburas on Shabbos, is that this prohibition applies to all Yisraelim in the Torah. If I'm prohibited from doing something, I can't ask a non-Jew to do it for me. Right? V'ha amir l'avikochav m'shvus v'afilu b'davar she'enu shel Shabbos. Tosus over here writes, this amir l'akum concept is not a Shabbos concept. It is a It's their concept. Something's prohibited to me. I can't ask a non-Jew to do it. Gemara b'Metzia. Gabe chasom pi parasi v'dosh ba. Right? The Gemara over there says, I can't ask a non-Jew to, you know what, muzzle my ox and then let him plow my grain. Not plow, thresh. Let him thresh. You can't do that. I'm not allowed to muzzle my ox. I can't ask a non-Jew to do it. And then Tosfos over here tries to explain how it's okay over here, right? Maybe it's shvus b'makom mitzvah, meaning the prohibition of asking a non-Jew to do something for me is only rabbinic prohibition, and because Rabbi Gamliel was doing it for the purpose of a mitzvah, so therefore it's different over here. Right? Oh, again. Right? Just in general, you should know that this idea that I can't ask a Jew to do an Ister for me is not a Shabbos concept that applies to all to Shari Sturm in the Torah. Okay, good. Anyway, let's go back to our Gemara over here. Shani Rami Gamal Dachir Masullah. Baharav Yehuda. Okay, now the Gemara, so fine. So we have now so far answered up question number one. How can Rami Gamal draw pictures of the moon? Answer is he didn't. Somebody else did it for him. Good. Now we're going to get to a second issue. And that's an issue of chshad, meaning that you have to be above suspicion. If you have pictures of celestial bodies in your house, even though you didn't draw it, but aren't people going to think that you're worshiping it? Now you're not. In other words, you're monotheistic, you're good, you're fine. But people are going to suspect, and one of our requirements always is to be above suspicion. So how can Rami Gamliel have pictures of the moon in his house? What about the issue of chshad, the idea that people will suspect that he's worshipping idols? And the Gemara introduces this idea by way of a story. Shmuel tells his student Rav Yehuda, Shinana, which is his pet nickname for his student Rav Yehuda, Samei Einei Dedein. Get rid of it. Literally blind its eye. Get rid of it. You're not allowed to have any type of picture of celestial body because people are going to suspect that you're worshipping it. Hasam b'chot ma'bolet umishum chashada. The Gemara there says that item that Rav Yehuda had, that Shmuel instructed to get rid of, that was chot ma'bolet. It was not just a picture, a two-dimensional picture, but it was actually a three-dimensional depiction. If it's protruding outward, then there's a problem of chashad. If it's protruding inward, so then it would not be a problem. The Gemara says, I'm going to tell you a story. There's a shul in the town of Naharda, the shul of Shaf v'Yosef. That's the name of the shul. I don't know what those words mean. I don't know why they named it that way, but Rashi just simply says it's the actual name of a place in the province of Naharda. Right, Rashi gives a little historical possibility in terms of how the shul was made. Here Rashi writes, the Yeshama Yechanya Vigaluso not lu imaheme avnei Yushalayim ume afra uvanoso sham. Yechanya built it from the stones of Yushalayim. V'hainu d'shav v'yasev ben ardad nishav kan v'niyashev kan. They dislodged it from Israel. They moved it over here. Okay, fine. Okay. Let's get back to the main point. There was a statue in front of the shul. There was a human statue in front of the shul. Okay? And look, they didn't worship it. They didn't bow down to it. But aren't you worried about chashad? Aren't you worried about suspicion? And prominent Jewish people davened in that shul, even though there was a statue in front of that shul. That's strange, right? And we're not worried about chashad. Rabim Shani. So the Gemara says, no. If it's a public statue, and we're not worshipping it, so there's no issue of chashad. Chashad is only when an individual has some depiction of a celestial body in his house, then we are concerned with chashad. The Rami Gamliel, the Yachid Hava, the Gemara says Rami Gamliel was an individual. Gemara says no. Kevin Danasi, who Shchichi Rabim Gabay. He was not an individual. He was a leader of the Jewish people. People frequented by him all the time. Therefore, it was like a public forum, his house. And so therefore, there's no issue of chashad. Ibai Sim, the Gemara gives now a second answer. Now, it's not clear whether the Gemara here is answering the issue of Chashad, or the Gemara is answering the larger issue of you're not allowed to make pictures of celestial bodies. From Rashi, it sounds like the Gemara is just answering the second issue of Chashad, although you could say that this is answering the more fundamental issue. It was not a full picture of the moon. It was pieces of the moon. It was like a puzzle. And when people came in, he put it together. And then when they left, he disassembled it. Okay. Or the Gemara says he was doing this for instructional purposes. You can't practice witchcraft. You can't practice sorcery, but you got to know about it. Especially if you're going to be a judge, you're going to try it, and you're going to put people to trial, so therefore you have to know about it. Similarly over here, you can't have pictures of the moon in your house for purposes of worship, but if it's lehit lameh, but if it's instructional, people come in and he's got to show people, oh, that's what it looks like, that's what it looks like, so that would be okay, lehit lameh shani, that's different, it's fundamentally different. Again, it's not clear whether this is answering the issue of chashad, or this is answering the larger issue of, under those circumstances, maybe it would be okay to draw. Good. Rabbi Gamliel, again, Rabbi Gamliel had moons in his attic, pictures of moon in his attic. How can he have that? So the Gemara's first approach is that somebody else drew it for him. We spoke about Amir La'akum when it comes to Shari Surim. Then the Gemara talks about the issue of Chashad. What about people suspecting you being Ovid of Avodah Zarah? So the Gemara to that's response was, public forum is different. Maybe he had the moon in pieces. And finally, the Hislam Eitchane, that it was for instructional purposes, and maybe that would be fundamentally different.